talk to you today for a moment. I want to talk to you how you respond in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a challenge, in the middle of a difficulty. What is your response in the middle of that? Father, open our hearts and our minds today, I ask, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And I also want to just remind everybody, thankful for to see all of you. I really am. You're our family. We love you so much. I know there's many that you're still concerned about coming out, and we honor and respect that so much. We just want you to know you're welcome. We can have up to 300 people in the building. We're not nowhere near that yet. And if you feel just the need to come and be together and see some faces in person, just come on. We're going to be safe. We got the little squirt things up to give you the sanitizer, and you can come in, wear a mask if you feel like that. And a little reminder for the mask police. I don't say that in a bad way either. The mask is if you're going to be closer to somebody than 6 feet. If you're 6 feet or farther, you're okay. And so I just want you to know that. If you're 6 feet away from somebody, if somebody's wearing a mask and you're not, don't run up there and hug them, okay? Because the mask says, give me some distance, that's all. And so we're working with all that. We're going to get better continually going forward. And I know what it'll all look like in a month or 6 months. We never thought 4 months ago today that we'd still be here doing what we're doing. But it's okay. And we're going to get through it, and we're going to see God do great and mighty things as a result of it. And I just want to talk to you for a moment today. I want to give you three words, and I want you to remember these three when you leave today. Respond, react, and self-control. Respond, react, and self-control. And I need help in those areas of my life. Because the reality of it is, we are no better than our response to situations in our lives. And our response to a situation has the propensity of what that situation will turn out to be. Our response in crisis, in difficulties, is transformative. So many aspects of our lives have been challenged. And if we're wise and we pause for a moment, we'll pause and we'll think, what have we learned in this time, not just for now, but that we can carry forward in our lives? How can we be better for it? And I said this last week, what have I been doing that almost led to my undoing? And what should we be doing that we should have been doing all along? Because I've talked to a myriad of people, and they've told me they, before this happened, they were on the edge of really tipping over and making some decisions that would be detrimental to their future. But because of that, it forced them to reconsider. And that's a God thing. I'm telling you, I'm convinced sometimes that God creates these bigger scenarios just for the one person to be rescued in the midst of a very troubling situation. But simply wanting or intending to be better for things in our lives really doesn't require us to do anything, but emerging to be better requires you to exercise self-control. This is such a huge one. It's the innate ability that empowers you to be better for anything that comes your way. And how do you do it? And it won't be up on the screen. It's through Holy Spirit power. Listen, 1 Timothy 1:7, I'm reading this out of the Good News Bible, says, for the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His Spirit fills us with power and love and self-control. When I was a newborn Christian and I was learning the things of God, I used to hear this preach, that God's not given us, in the King James or New King James says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind or self-control. And the power will always be accentuated, but the self-control would be minimized. In the essence, the reality of it is that self-control should be maximized. And the power that we want to walk in will then be demonstrated in the love that God puts in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. This not only helps us to love and not fear, but it gives us supernatural power in how we respond to fear and how we respond with love and how we respond in the ability to have self-control in moments that we just want to give it all up, lay it all out there, and just do what we feel like. And right in this moment, we didn't choose this pandemic, but it chose us. But it left us with some choices. And self-control empowers you to turn a bad thing into something good. Now listen to this. Self-control will empower you to even thwart the intentions that evil people have for your life. It's easy to lose sight of things like this during a crisis, but if you will lose sight of it, you become a victim in the midst of it. But it's our respond ability that gives us the ability to respond in a good way rather than just react to it in a way. Because reacting sets us up, listen to this, to become a reflection of the things that we despise and the people that we don't respect. When you react, to react is to relinquish your power over your legacy and your future. That's a strong statement. The right response to a situation gives us the power to redeem pain and suffering and reverse the course that our life is going on. The right response has the potential to reverse a natural course that you are heading down. Listen to what I'm saying. And you've been invited to live a life that you choose how you're going to respond rather than to react to the circumstances that are around you. I don't know about you, but I've had many cuts and things on my body through my life. I've got a couple. I was doing, something with a barbell cleans the other day in the gym, and it wore the skin off in both of the sides of my thumb. It's sore, and it hurts, and I know that I'll go back tomorrow, and it'll happen all over again. But I've had cuts. I hurt my foot. I don't know, it was 2 or 3 years ago, and the doctor gave me a boot to wear, this goofy boot. And so I'm wearing it, and in the time that I had it, I got an abrasion on the side of my foot, which then got infected. And the infection was worse than the foot issue that I had. So now I got a double whammy going on because my foot reacted because I was wearing the boot to the gym. It was getting hot and sweaty, and it reacted to the element in which it was exposed to until I did what I learned years ago. My father-in-law, my wife's grandmother said, soak it in Epsom salts, rub a little of this on it, and I did it, and it responded appropriately, and it got better. You can leave wounds in your life open to reaction. You can react to them. And they will do what my foot did. They will get swelled up. They will get red. They will get painful. They will get very sensitive to the touch. And I tell you, I've met people in my life that have reacted to things in life, and that's just the way they become. Very sensitive to touch. Anything that anybody says to them, they want to blow up at them. And we're living in a time frame right now where many people are teeter-tottering on all kinds of emotions, and they're reacting instead of responding. And God wants you and I to respond, because when we respond to things in a godly and in a measured way with self-control, God lays His hand of blessing over our lives and changes the outcome of what our future can really be all about. No, because at the center of our faith is a man who surrendered his life. The Bible says they led Jesus away like a lamb led to the slaughter. And the Bible says, and he uttered not a word. Be that. God help us with that, to put a watch over our lips instead of all us always blabbering what comes into our mind to harm other people, that we respond with love and self-control. I ought to hear a better amen than that this morning. Come on today. Never underestimate the power of a measured response. And there's another biblical character, and I've talked about him in the last few weeks. His name is Joseph. If you read the last few chapters in the Bible, in Genesis, you read about his story. It's an incredible story about this man, Joseph, who the Bible says was born one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And the conclusion of his story illustrates the course of the reversing power of a measured response. Now, you know the story. His brothers got incredibly jealous of him. They wanted to get rid of him. One day, he showed up. He's telling them his dreams, and they just had enough. They stripped him of his clothes. They threw him in a pit to die, and then they got together, and they decided, well, let's not let him die. Let's sell him. After all, he is our brother. We'll have a little grace on him. And the end of the story goes on like this, and I'm going to read down through a few of those verses, but I want to give you the end of the story so I can catch your attention, because this is so true. He says in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, after 20 years of going through pain and difficulty, but him responding in an appropriate way through every one of them, the Bible says, you intended to harm me. He was the second most important man in the land of Egypt. He was over all the officials, and there was a famine that had come into the land. And after all these things, I'm going to read to you right in a minute. Here is Joseph. He's in charge, and he has say, and he looks at his brothers, and he said, you intended to hurt me. You wanted to harm me. And it goes against the fabric of people saying things like, well, if you forgive me, you'll forget. I forgive, but I don't forget. I still remember, but it doesn't have any sting in me. It doesn't have any hold on me anymore. And the Bible says that his brothers were the power brokers in his life, who had the odds in their favor and evil in their heart. They wanted to harm him. But then it says that God intended it all for good. And I wonder, no, I don't believe for one minute that God has created what we're going through. But I believe with all of my heart that he can take this and he can do something incredible with it. He can transform lives. And again, we know the story. Here's Joseph, one of the 12 sons, sold. The Bible says in Genesis 37:26, Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. Verse 39, verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. You know, here's a moment. Nobody's looking for Joseph. Nobody's wondering where he is. His brothers came back and told his dad, Jacob, he's dead. And we think that if the Lord was with Joseph, that everything would have been fine. He'd been home. He'd been snuggled in his chair, sipping on some Kona coffee. Come on. Amen on that. You think if God was with him, everything good would be happening for his life. After all, isn't it the truth that when God is with you, only good will happen to you? And God was with Joseph, but there was no luck, justice, fairness, no prosperity. Yet Joseph exercised self-control. He responded in his life instead of reacting in his life. And the story continues in Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, not the way we thought. Verse 3, when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, that is so amazing to me. And the reason that everything worked out the way it did for Joseph is because of the way Joseph responded and knowing that God was with him. When you and I mature in knowing and understanding God, in the moments of the most difficult times in your life, you must realize that God is with you. He's not against you. He's for you. He's working something out behind the scenes for you. Verse 4, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. And Potiphar put him in charge of his household, everything he entrusted to his care, and everything he owned. And the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Some of you are in this house today. And where you work and where you serve is blessed because you are there. Don't let that make you haughty. It should make you very humble. But you need to know that the blessing, when God lays blessing on your life, he just doesn't do it for you, your little huddle for no more. Wherever you walk into, he's going to bless that organization. I want to tell some businessman that's watching me from home right now, if you have the opportunity to hire a man or a woman who fears and honors God and gives to the Lord, hire them as fast as you can. Pay them more than anybody else is paying them, because when you do, your business will be greatly blessed as well. Joseph responded as though God was with him and that everything was going good. And there's always more to the story than meets the eye. Your answer is your invitation to exercise self-control in your life. Never underestimate the power of a measured response. Never do that. You have no idea what hangs in the balance of your decision to respond rather than to react. I've been doing what I've been doing now for several years, and having a opportunity to view and to watch how different people respond and react in seasons and in times of their lives. I've seen people react in vicious ways and harm their future. And then I've seen people respond in ways that I just never thought would even be possible. I've seen people in marriages that have broken up and where there's been distrust entered in. I've seen a spouse respond in a forgiving and a loving way that took their family in directions that only God could do. I want to tell somebody that today. If you're in that place right now and you're battling, if you'll trust God and you'll respond in an appropriate way, God will bless your life. He'll take you and do things that you never thought were possible. And the story goes on. You think, you know, here Joseph sold once, sold twice. Now he's in Potiphar's house. Everybody sees God's hand on his life. He's blessed. Potiphar's house is blessed. And then guess what happens? The situation gets a little more complicated. Here comes another twist to Joseph's life. In Genesis 39:6, Joseph was well built and handsome. Hey, when you got it, right? What are you going to do? And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." What a moment that had to be. Favor, blessing, the business was blessed. Everything looked good. And then out of nowhere, here comes this woman and says this to him. And I'm sure Joseph at that moment, it was as human as anyone, thought, well, you know, what could be the harm? Pondered it. But in the end, he did something incredible. In Genesis 39:8-9, the Bible says he refused. He said, with me in charge. He told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. Now then, verse 9, how could I do such a wicked thing? Not sin against Potiphar, but sin against God. He had a moment there. What a tight spot he was in. That's a perfect moment for many of us to say, God, why? Why me? Why would you allow this to happen to me? Joseph didn't say that. He said, I wouldn't do that. I would sin against God. And because of that, Potiphar's wife accused him, talked bad about him to her husband. And you would think the husband, after he came home and he really investigated the whole scenario, would maybe have a little different view. But the Bible says that the master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And Joseph pays for the crime he avoided. And he pays for it because he did avoid it. The truth is, bad things happen to good people, even those that God is with. And I know there's a lot of people that don't want to believe that. They don't want to accept that. You don't have to accept it. It's the truth. Well, how you respond to it will dictate what your future is. How would someone in my circumstance respond if they were confident that God was with them? How would someone respond? How would you respond if you knew that God was up to something? The answer is to exercise self-control. Your respond ability. How you respond. Because your willingness to respond rather than react is your way to your destiny and to your future. And you will emerge from whatever you are facing better for it rather than being bitter because of it. Did you hear that, what I just said? You will emerge from whatever you are facing better for it rather than bitter for it. I got to tell you, I don't get it all the time. This last week, I messed up. We had the food giveaway, St. Anthony's. We did one a week before. Everything smooth. I mean, it went good. And to be honest with you, I walked away, you know, because they had been doing it some other places, and they had some issues, so they wanted us to do it. And it went so good. And everybody was, you know, the people on the outside were looking at, man, you guys are amazing. And I'm there like, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I know. All our people are amazing. And they are. But this last week, I'm waiting for the truck and waiting and waiting. We got 100, maybe more cars. They're lined up, Liberty from St. Anthony's, all up around Max Pies both ways. And they're waiting for this food that they have been promised, and it doesn't come. And finally, the lady calls. They made a mistake. It went to Watertown. And it won't be there until noon, which the reality of it is it didn't get there until 1:20. And then they said, you just take off because it's a refrigerated truck. This is frozen meat and some dairy products. This is all, I mean, this is great stuff. You take what you want, and then we'll take back. The truck came. And I had a doctor's appointment, so I wasn't even here through the most of it. I'm in Buffalo, and I come back. And there's a stack of pallets in the middle of the parking lot. They not only, they took everything off the truck in 92-degree weather and dumped it on that blacktop and drove that truck away. And I'm telling you what, as God is my witness, I was hotter than a pistol. I reacted. And I'll tell you, I wanted to call them people up. And it was only the grace of God. Is it okay that I just tell you how I really act sometime? Are you going to think less of me? Thank God. And I came back. One of the ladies from United Way was here. She goes, oh, it's just so great. Everything's happening. And I'm like, have you been drinking or something? What's great about this? And then Ryan pulls up and he says, man, praise the Lord. We got it all. I'm like, shut up, kid. You don't know what you're talking about. And they delivered. Instead of waiting, just some people came back and came around. But then they got busy. And they delivered that food all over the county to people who were in need. And they responded instead of reacting. Because my brothers and my sisters were no better than our responses. No better. But our responses can make us better. Joseph illustrates the story that you and I can be better because of our response. Not just to get through it, but when we respond in an appropriate way, it makes us better. Are you listening to me today? Your current situation, your current circumstances are only a chapter of your life story that you're going through. It isn't that your whole life. It's just a moment. It's just a chapter. COVID is a chapter in history, and you and I have got the privilege to live in the middle of it and have a front row seat and how God is going to do something amazing as a result of it. And again, just to remind you all how this really ended, remember, after Joseph got through all this, he got thrown into prison. The story goes on. He eventually got out, and he got put into the second most notable place in the land, and a famine came. God gave him a vision of what to do. They stored up food, and in the middle of the famine, here comes this family, his brothers, and his father, who thought he was dead. And can you imagine the emotion that happened at that very moment? And Joseph is sitting in a place where he could have snapped his fingers and had his brothers killed. He could have taken them out in a moment. And I wonder what our response would have been. I wonder what my response, 20 years of pain and hell and misunderstanding, because you didn't like me, you were jealous of me, and you tried to harm me. And there they are, standing before him with their hands open up. We're hungry. And a dad who thought he was dead and now is weeping over emotions that not only his son is a lie, but that his other sons lied about the whole scenario. And there he is standing there with them. And Joseph now is in another moment where he can react or he can respond. I'm speaking into somebody's spirit right now. I feel that. I feel that draw on me right now that you may have a decision you have to make this week. And you're wondering, how am I going to do that? I can react. Oh, I'm going to get them. They're going to get theirs. They're going to get a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell them what I really think. Wait till they got to come to me again. I will get them, but not Joseph. You know why? Because God was with him. Come on, how many of you believe God's with you this morning? He wasn't mad at him. There's no scripture that says that Joseph, he had it out for him, that he wanted to harm him. He said to them, you intended to hurt me. He looked right at him. Because I'd get a kick out of people that say, well, if you forgive, you got to forget. And that's wrong. You can forgive, but you don't forget. But the power of the dirty deed done to you doesn't hold you in prison anymore. But you can look from the outside and look back at what harmed you one time has no hold over you whatsoever today. He said, you intended to hurt me. You wanted to harm me. My dad, I've said this before, he hurt me. I saw him beat my mother. Oh, that's because to this day, if I hear of a man abusing his wife, something rises up. I'm telling you, if I ever see it, I won't respond appropriately, probably. I can see that. In a clear vision, right? I can see my dad just holding my mother by her neck. And he'd be in prison for years now and just slapping her and beating her. But, you know, that doesn't have a hold on me anymore. He intended to hurt her. But if my dad was sitting here right now today, I wouldn't have told the story that made him feel embarrassed. But I would say, I love you. And I care for you. And I want to tell you about Jesus, who can help you and heal you, and deliver you from that. Joseph said, you intended to harm me. But God intended it to do something great. He's got greatness for you today. Don't react to whatever it is you're dealing with right now. Husbands and wives, don't react to something that one of you said wrong to the other or did wrong. Don't react to your boss or to your business associates. Don't react. I'm not, you know, I am purpose. I didn't call that organization because, to be honest with you, I knew my spirit wasn't right. It's okay today. I knew God did something greater as a result of it. I want to just leave you with these three thoughts. I want you to ponder this. Number one, did you grow up assuming that if God is with you, everything will go good for you? Is that the way you think? Because if you think that way and something goes bad, you'll want to blame God for it. But if you know that even in the midst of a difficulty, in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a misunderstanding, of a heartache, that God can still work something good out of it, you'll trust him, and it'll affect your future, your destiny. And can I tell you one more thing? It won't only affect you, but it'll affect your children, and it'll affect your grandchildren. Can I just tell you something today? There were moments in my life that I did not want to be married any longer. My wife, though, we've talked million times. And my reaction was not good, but it was by the grace of God that he helped me to think beyond a moment in my life where I was upset or discouraged, whatever, and put the right people in my life at the right time that can say to me, you need to pause and think. Every one of you, you don't run away from people that do that with you. You need to run closer to them. You need to stop saying things like, nobody's going to control me. Nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to do. And they spoke into my life. And I responded. And I looked up here this morning to see my son, my daughter-in-law leading worship, my two granddaughters. That is how a response appropriate to the work and the will of God will have an impact on your life and on your future today. Here's the second. Is there an area of your life you need to exercise self-control in with the your response instead of reacting? Are you reacting to everything? Are you like my foot? Are you just getting all blown up and hot and angry? And if anybody comes there, don't touch me and stay away from me. Or are you somebody that's responding? And last, out of all the people that you admire the most, does your admiration have anything to do with the way that they have dealt with adversity in their lives? I know with me it does. See, if you haven't been through something, you can't help me. If you haven't faced a challenge, you can't help me. When I talk to other couples and young people, middle-aged, older people, and talk about, man, I'm not a counselor, but I've been through some things, and I can help you. I paid. We let me come on up here. We've worked to be together as long as we have. It just didn't happen. There's not some little rose petals that drop out of the sky every night over us. We worked, and you got to respond and quit reacting to everything that comes your way. And let God have His perfect way and His perfect will in your heart and in your life. I feel like I'm praying for somebody. You're on that edge today. Just close your eyes and bow your head with me today. I feel like someone I'm talking to, you're right on the edge. God doesn't want you to react any longer. He wants you to respond to Him. He's got such a beautiful plan for your life. Spirit of God, You do all things well. Your grace is sufficient. You heal, You restore, You make new. You take things that the enemy meant for evil and You create a testimony. God, I thank You so much for that today. Spirit of the living God, touch Your people, I pray. Everyone, from the youngest to the eldest. Just your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you've never given, I'm speaking to people at home or wherever you're watching today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you will never know this power that He can give you to have self-control in your life. If you're battling with addictions, whatever kind, you'll never be successful apart from Him. He wants to come in and live inside of you. Just eyes closed in this building today. Those of you that are watching at home, let's pray this with me. Just everyone, if you need Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my failures. I ask You to be the Lord and Master of my life. I give You my heart. I give You my life today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I pray for my friends today, those that are here, those that are watching. Empower them to be everything that You have called and created them to be today. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said a big amen in God's house. Come on, was it good to be in His house today together? I love you. Give some air hugs on the way out, some fist pumps. God bless you. Hey, I'm speaking again this Thursday night. I hope you can make it 7 o'clock. Check on our Facebook page for all the small groups. We got some incredible groups that are going on. And if you're able to, you don't want to miss them. Just write on our Facebook page or go to the website. You'll get all the information there. Don't forget, thank you all so much for giving. You can give PushPay app. You can text 77977 and just put in there the City Church NY. You can go to the website, citychurch.com, or send it in the mail, City Church 210 East Main, Batavia 14020. We do life together. Amen. I said we do life together. Through the good, the bad, the ugly, we do life together. We're going to respond. We're not going to react. We're going to love one another. Amen. God bless you. Go in His grace today.